Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lore Boys here with the most relaxing game ever and one of the coolest games ever, I think, is Animal Crossing. My name's James Miller, and I'm joined here with...
It's me, Chet the Chinchilla.
Chet the Chinchilla?
Yeah, what? I'm here.
He's so fluffy, but he can't puke, so don't let him eat any tinsel. No. He'll shred his organs.
And
but I love tinsel.
It's so tasty.
Chet, don't eat any...
No, you can't stop me. I'm self-quarantining. Don't come into my house while I eat this tinsel. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey, guys. Oh, my God, my chinchilla died. It's me, Ethan. What happened? I stepped out of the room for a second. I asked you guys to watch him.
We tried to stop him, but we're remote.
Yeah, Fastidious Greg was on holiday, and he didn't pick up all that tinsel. So
yeah, I know. He really. Yeah.
Well, he's self-quarantined as well in the Fastidious Dome.
Yeah.
Well, he was very, very nervous about all the dirt and stuff. I'm Ethan Palmer. Welcome to the podcast.
That's two out of three of us. Who's the third?
I'm Peter O'Donoghue, and my 14-day isolation is almost done, and I'm wondering what the fuck I'm supposed to do afterwards.
Keep isolating.
Yeah, still stay inside, yeah, definitely.
Dang.
Oh, damn, that was not the answer I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was just like, yeah, you spent 2 weeks at home, you're immune now. I thought that was the point.
Go to a kissing party.
Okay.
So quarantine's still going on for all those people. Everyone in the world is pretty aware of it at this point, but something that's helped me with the quarantine definitely is Animal Crossing. I picked up the new one. New Horizons just came out a few days ago, and it is a lovely world to escape in. What is your experiences with Animal Crossing, guys?
Well, I owned a chinchilla, but he just died, so... Man, he would have been a great guest, my talking chinchilla, on this episode. That's too bad.
Yeah, probably.
I have a scumbag landlord, and that's about as close as I can get. That's about as close as my experience with Animal Crossing has ever been. I've been fishing, and I like apples as well.
Oh, look, well, I'm in the all bankers, all landlords are scummy field. But Tom Nook does offer interest-free mortgages and lets you pay it off by catching tarantulas. So
it's a pretty lax system, actually. Like, he'll give you a house day one on an island. He'll let you pay it off as quickly or as long as you'd like to, and you can pay it off in very unconventional ways. Honestly, as someone who owes money, owing money to Tom Nook has not been the worst experience.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the crossover memes with Doom as well. The dog girl and Doom
Isabella.
Guy are... Yeah, there you go. Isabella and Doom Guy are thick as thieves, they is.
As far as experience goes, I did play the original on GameCube.
Yep.
I am a huge Harvest Moon fan, Stardew Valley fan. I'm a huge fan of these games where you just like build a house. I love The Sims. I could never get into Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Never got into it, I think.
I don't know what it was. It was the decorating the stuff. I don't know. It didn't click with me for whatever reason.
That's fair.
I look at the new one and I kind of feel the same. I look at it and I say, like, it looks cool. It looks great. It just doesn't look like it's for me. Like, it doesn't look like it'll click for me.
That's fair. It didn't click with me the first time I got it either. But as I got older, I kind of started appreciating games that didn't have as much of a point all the time, like where you're encouraged just to hang out and stuff. Like Stardew Valley, I found I really enjoyed that. But even in Stardew, like, there's kind of pressure with the season system and stuff to min-max what you're doing so you have enough money to go to your next... You don't really have to, but just gaming culture in general makes me want to min-max. Like, I know I can get the most money off of this, so I'm going to plant on this day and all this stuff.
It's kind of funny because in Stardew, you end up like the game doesn't last as long if you just like, oh, I got to the bottom of cave, like the first cave,
yeah,
like relatively quick, you know, I bought like all the upgrades for my house, and you're like, well, there's not that much left to do. I mean, there's a lot to do in Stardew, like,
yeah.
But like, you a cranberry baron or something like that, Jamie?
Oh, I sold a lot of cranberries. You could make the most money in fall. Cranberries, plant them day one. It's the richest you'll be.
Yeah. But you also want to optimize. You want to plant like your best crops so you can get the community center unlocked. Yeah. Because that gives you like really good upgrades and stuff too.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about Stardew Valley. We've already talked about Stardew Valley.
Yeah. But Animal Crossing. I kind of came at Animal Crossing with the same type of mentality. I was like, okay, well, like, I have some choices to make at the beginning. I got to make the right choices. So I looked at an island, and I was like, oh, how? Okay, I'll just pick the island that feels best to me. And they're like, okay, when you go on this island, you can take one of three items. Do you want, like, a fishing pole, a sleeping bag, or something else? I forget which three of them they were. And I was like, oh, man, like, okay, this is going to have an impact on my game. What do I want? So I Googled it. And I was like, okay, like, what's the best starting item for?
New Horizon meta.
Yeah. How do I manipulate the RNG in Stardew Valley to catch a string fish on day one?
And what I thought was really funny was it says, it doesn't matter which one you pick, all three of them you will be given on your first day anyways. So it kind of disarmed me right from the beginning, and I haven't looked up anything since, because it just told me, you'll get everything, don't worry. And
chill, bro.
Yeah. And ever since then, in the 4 days I've been playing it, it's been very relaxed, and yeah.
Honestly, it's like, because some people will manipulate, so it works, and I don't know if you'll get into this, but it works based on real dates, like real date and time, right? And some people will like manipulate the date on their Switch to like, they'll like plant a money tree, and then they'll manipulate the date so it's like a century in the future.
Yeah.
And they'll log back in, and they'll just have like millions and millions of dollars. And I guess that's just playing on like creative mode or like sandbox mode. But it's just like, it seems so silly to me, like, to play the game like that. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you even bothering?
So Hollis, who's like one of my friends from work, he did it that way, and he told me afterwards, he's like, I'm not sure I should have done it that way, because I paid off all my loans on the first day I got the game, and now you can collect all the fossils and all the fish to fill up your museum, and that's kind of like a fun thing to do, but
if you're not in debt, there's no point in playing, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the nice thing about being in debt is that all the things that you catch that you already have, like, there's a reason to catch them. Like, if you go you still can sell them to pay off your house. If you're trying to catch this one rare fish and you spend 8 hours and you get it and none of it is valuable except for the actual fish, then I don't know. At least you're getting value still.
That's 8 hours to catch one fish, or 8 hours spent catching a lot of fish that are all valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
I caught an oar fish like 2 days ago, dude. It's huge. I pulled it out, and it's like three times as wide as my character model. I got so excited. And I messaged Hollis, who had put 40 hours in the first 3 days the game was out. And I was like, dude, I got this. I got this. And he's like, what? You're so lucky. I haven't even gotten it yet. And I've put in maybe 8 hours combined. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, haha, got it.
That is very on brand for you, Jamie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Jamie and his direct link to RNGesus.
Yeah. Yep. The other priests in my guild hate me. So to start off with Animal Crossing, like, you guys kind of know the concept. You wash up on an island, or you land on an island, you take a bus, a train, or wherever to your island, and you are
the
given a house.
To the island sounds very sexy and reasonable. Yeah.
You are given a house by a guy named Tom Nook. And he is... Do you know what animal he is?
He's a raccoon.
He's a raccoon, but he's actually a tanuki.
A tanuki, yeah.
Raccoon dog.
He's even less trustworthy because he's got those giant testicles inside of his pants.
You know so much about animals.
A tanuki is not a real animal.
Really?
It's like a mythical folklore animal from Japan. I know. Yeah.
I know it's Japanese.
I sarcastically mentioned Neo when you talked about a relaxing game, but there is a tanuki enemy in Neo that does not actually have like a little leathery shell. He's not like a little armadillo. It's actually his giant scrotum pulled back and around and sat on top of his head to protect his back.
Oh my god!
Way to go, Neo. I know in Super Mario Bros. 3, the one that's a play. That's like,
yes,
they're reenacting Super Mario 1, I think. When you can fly, you get the raccoon tail, and that's it's a tanuki tail. You get the tanuki suit.
Right. So I just looked up a tanuki on Wikipedia, and there is a picture, but I think the real raccoon is called Aral Guma. So there's one that's like a... I'm not sure.
Tom Nook is a tanuki. Tom Nook is kind of like tanuki, too.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Nooki. Yeah. Kind of makes sense.
Oh, I see the picture of the real animal. Japanese raccoon dog. All right.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's real or not, but Tom Nook
it's real.
Definitely is real. Yeah. So this is you land there, this guy who's kind of mischievous. He gives you a big loan on a house. You get a house, which is cool, but you got to pay him off.
It's like, hello, newcomer. Would you like this fresh house to hear that I just finished clearing the bodies out of? Please ignore my huge testicles. It's just like, oh, yeah. Help me with this carpet. Help me with this rolled up, taped up carpet, and the place is yours.
No problem. A small favor for a house and an interest-free loan, of course. By the way, nice hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How odd that you're wearing gloves but didn't give me any. I hope it's like, yeah, don't worry. Get your fingerprints all over the house. It doesn't matter to me. It's yours now.
Yeah. So
if anyone asked, it was yours a month ago, by the way.
Especially at this time on this date.
Yeah.
Yeah. This this Tom Nook guy is kind of mischievous, as you can tell, and he gives you a house. You have to pay it off. Other villagers will slowly move into your village as you go. You get what in Animal Crossing New Horizons, which is the one that I've been playing and I've been really enjoying it. You start off in a tent with two other villagers, and I've looked at gameplay. I was watching a stream last night, and it seems as you kind of progress, everybody will have like these really elaborate houses. What used to be like dirt paths on the road turns into like stone proper roads, and the whole thing just kind of upgrades as you go. And
are you guys drawing straws in your tent to see who you need to eat?
Yeah.
Is there like a central government? Is Tom Nook the mayor? Or
he's got a racket, man. I don't know what it is. He's like in charge of this town, but you can go to travel to other islands. You pay Nook miles to get a Nook ticket, and Nook miles are basically like your small objectives you get Nook miles for. So chop 3 trees, pick 3 berries, and you get Nook miles. And as soon as
so
you get that,
set up his own currency.
Yes, and then once you get the daily quest, once you get the daily quest, like one of those dailies, it'll disappear and a new one will pop up. So there's always small scale goals to be doing.
Okay.
So is Tom Nook running like a banana republic? Like,
yeah,
is he just like building towns and roads, and he's like a businessman, and like the central government is just like, you know what, we can't afford to build roads or like harbors or like, you know, telecom infrastructure. So as long as you guys are doing it, I guess we'll keep giving you land grants so you can keep bringing people on to work.
He's
in
like
your little
Comstar from BattleTech. He even has his own fucking currency.
Yeah,
he's straight up like the Dole Fruit Company. Like,
yeah.
And then when you go to use the Nook Miles, you can do a few different things. You can like make your inventory bigger so you can work longer. You can do different things like that, right? And then also you can use Nook Miles to visit a random island. And there's a pelican who'll drop you off.
Sorry.
Yeah, you like how what?
No, it's just hard. It's just because we can't see you. I don't mean to cut you off so much. I'm sorry.
No, no.
No, I was going to say I like how he's basically set up his own currency in town and allows you to buy longer shifts from him.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's
a great racket.
So you can also pay to go to different islands that are unsettled and take all the resources from those islands and bring them back to your island with the Nook Miles that you earn. But it's kind of random on how you get there, and the guy will tell you, the pelican that drops you off says, you're not allowed to ever come here again, and you're not allowed to know where this is. So take what you can with your hands, and that's it. That kind of thing.
Put a bag over your head.
Yeah. So it's really shady. The whole thing, you're in, I don't know what's going on.
This seems
they
super
put a bag over your head, take way too many left turns than is necessary, so you're completely disoriented, and he's just like, okay. You got 2 hours to strip mine this island. He's like, what about the native life? Doesn't matter. Take whatever you need. You're never coming back.
Yeah.
It's like Bikini Atoll. They're like testing nukes.
I've seen some cool iterations of the islands. There's one called Tarantula Island, which is like a circular island with a pond in the middle with an island in that pond. And so there's like just, and in that island, in the middle of the island, there is just a bunch of tarantulas on spiders, or on flowers. Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible place.
So you can, there's like a way to do it where you dig holes in the ground where you can kind of funnel them so you can catch them properly. Because if a tarantula bites you, then you like die and get sent back to the plane. So you have to try and catch these tarantulas, which were ultra valuable. They're 8,000 bells each, but they could kill you also. So there's like a lot of interesting islands that can happen and stuff like that. But
why are tarantulas worth so much in this Tom Nook central economy?
Maybe it's because he's planning the war effort.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he's exporting them. It's not a banana republic, it's a tarantula republic. The United States is the biggest importer of tarantulas, so.
Yeah. They're very valuable.
They're just, the CIA is just funneling all this money into the system for Tom Nook.
Just destabilizing South American governments for their tarantulas.
Exactly.
The Cuban tarantula crisis.
Yeah.
The
nature of this.
So many spiders.
The nature of this game, although it does seem sinister in some ways, is really easygoing, fun-loving. You catch bugs, you fish, you build your house, you design your house, and it's just a really relaxing game. And I wanted to get into the history of it.
Okay.
So you mentioned, Ethan, that the first game came out on GameCube, and that was in North America, Australia, and Europe in 2002, 2003, 2004, respectively. But this was not actually the first game. The first game was actually called Dobutsu no Mori, which is probably butchered that pronunciation, but it just means, forest animals or something like that.
Okay.
According to a YouTube video that I watched, so I could be completely wrong. But that was originally slated to be released on the Nintendo 64 disk drive, known as the 64DD. Do you guys know what that is?
PlayStation, yeah.
What?
It became the PlayStation.
Oh, is that what it... Did it become the PlayStation?
Yeah, Nintendo was partnered with Sony to develop a CD-ROM game system, and the deal fell apart, and Sony left with the hardware, and they developed the PlayStation.
Oh, man. So the information I got was it was like a real flop. Like, it was meant to have more storage, online capabilities, a real-time clock... real-time clock was like something that is really core to the Animal Crossing series. Like, if you go in at noon in your day, it's noon in the game as well.
Yeah,
and we didn't have clocks until 2001, so they were really ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Before that, all we had was calendars, and those are so fast.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about the PlayStation bit. I know the story that the story of the PlayStation is that, but it might not be this exact system.
Okay. Yeah, this one seemed really bad. So, like, it was, if you want to picture it, you know what a Nintendo 64 looks like? It's kind of rectangular, kind of a little bit curvy when you're looking straight.
A little curvy. She's thick.
Oh, yeah.
She'll keep you warm in the winter.
Yeah. Oh, put that rumble pack on, baby.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes you got to blow her to get her work in.
Okay, I am picturing an N64, and I am rock hard.
Okay, perfect. So right, if you lifted up the N64 off of your dusty carpet floor, wherever you had it, you would put another like unit right underneath of it. So it's like about the same size, but it goes right underneath of it, and it has a place to put a CD in. It was meant to, like I said, more storage, online capabilities, more powerful, but it just really didn't take off. They were trying to create the game for this thing since it just fit the game so well, but they released it on a normal N64 cartridge with a chip inside of it to measure game time first.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, Pokemon Silver fucking did that, so that couldn't have been too hard. As long as Pokemon Silver's internal battery was still functional, it tracked the time.
Yep, so they did that. This is a good decision because the disk drive was a commercial failure and was pulled from production in about 9 months.
Ouch.
But since they could no longer make the game for the disk drive, they had less storage space, they didn't have the natural internal clock, so they had to ditch a lot of the features that were originally in the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So originally, Animal Crossing was going to be a multiplayer RPG with dungeons and monsters, and that you had to like cooperate to complete the content, but this was all scrap for the game we know now.
Yeah, they were just like, without a clock, honestly, none of this dungeon crawling could ever be possible. Keep the concept, but switch it to debt and setting up shell companies around multiple tropical islands.
Yes. Exactly.
Landlords, truly the greatest monsters.
Yeah, the last boss of all the Souls games is a landlord.
With his testicles pulled over his head.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what my landlord looks like all the time. So I send him emails. I don't want to go in person.
Yeah. So the game is what we know it as now. Like, the first game was a very Animal Crossing game. They've stayed true to it over the years. So it's a game where many large-scale and short-term goals. So there's, like, with mixed in with getting to know your neighbors. So like I said, with the current game, there's Nook Miles. You have a lot of short-term goals to get Nook Miles to eventually earn bells, which is your large-scale goal to pay off 100,000 bells, 200,000 bells, whatever it is.
All that money.
Yeah, yeah. It goes pretty quickly sometimes. Like, I paid off my first house in the first day, which was nice. Okay. But it was only a tent.
When you called it a house, you really had me going there.
Well, is a tent a house?
I mean, a tent is a home. I don't think it's a house.
Okay. What's the definition of a house, though?
I gotta assume walls, at the very least.
I mean, a tent has walls.
It's kind of like a roof, right? More, yeah. It's like a... Does a tent have walls, or does a tent have a roof?
Well, by that logic, does a blanket fort have walls?
No, but...
Well, a blanket fort can, because you can put the couch cushions, like, yeah, vertically up, and well, those are your walls.
So are walls multi-layered? Wall. Yeah, are walls multi-layered to you? Like, it has to be outside of couch cushion, inside of couch cushion, outside of couch cushion? Or is just a tent flap could be a wall as well, right?
Tent flap's more of a door.
Tent flap is a door. Yeah. But, okay, can I ask a question about the tent itself?
Yeah.
Is it, like, a tent that you would see at an event that has, like, posts, and then, like sheets that function as walls, and then kind of like a vaulted tent ceiling? Or is this like a camping tent that you would set up outside?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No, it's probably more like the first one.
Okay. Yeah. So then I'd say it could have walls. Still wouldn't call it a house, though.
A building for human habitation, especially one that is lived in by a family or small group of people. If you can fit a people in, it's a house.
By that definition, maybe you got me dead to rights. I stand correct. A tent is a house. Like, oh, so there is no. You see, this is what I've been saying all along. There's no homeless situation. These people have houses. I mean, yeah, come on, they're fine.
All you need is a suspended broomstick and a tarp, and that's a house.
And that's a house.
Why, as far as Wikipedia is concerned,
yeah. I have a house. They have a house. We're on equal footing, I'd say.
Yeah. Fuck. Millennials saying millennials can't afford a house anymore. They just don't know how to tie up a blanket like us boomers do.
Exactly. Yeah. The problem is they're going to the bank. They should be going to Canadian. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Which also has fake currency that is worthless everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Is Canadian Tire just Animal Crossing?
Oh, yeah. Is Tom Nook the CEO of Canadian Tire?
I mean, you go through Canadian Tire, and there's ways to put different decor around your house. There's tools so you can chop down trees and things like that outside. There's a lot of parallels.
There's so many toilets to poop in.
Yeah. Yep. You don't have to poop in the game, actually. That's a stress they didn't want to add in there.
thank you. That's most video games, though, isn't it?
I don't know. What games you got to poop?
Death Stranding and throw it at ghosts.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, Kojima is a lunatic, so have, like, piss, blood, and shit grenades that you can throw at ghosts.
Good.
Yep.
So, do you have to use the bathroom in Death Stranding? Is that, like, a regular...
Oh, I don't know. I haven't played it. I just know that there's human waste grenades.
Because I was going to say, for sure at some point, somebody has built a video game where you had to... Wait, The Sims. You gotta go to the bathroom.
There you go.
And actually, it worked. I was gonna say somebody's done it, and it didn't work, and that's why nobody's done it. But it works in The Sims. That's weird.
So there's this game's mixed with long scale and short scale goals. Sometimes short scale goals are just getting to the bathroom in time.
Yeah, building a blood and shit grenade.
Yeah,
yeah. In Animal Crossing.
Yeah, or instead of getting a house, just redefining what you're already in. That could be another goal. So
my palatial mansion is made out of tarp.
GameCube came out in 2001, and Nintendo released the same game again. So what was Animal Crossing? Dobutsu no Mori. But they called it Dobutsu no Mori Plus because it had a new system, more power on the system, so they could do a lot of the things that they wanted to do originally, but not on the N64, on the GameCube.
Mm-hmm. Right. Clock, tiny CDs.
Yep.
And that wasn't the Animal Crossing that we know.
So this all sort of is. The first one on the N64 very much looks like the first Animal Crossing, but it was made on the N64 rather than the GameCube. Right. Then this one was Dobutsu no Mori Plus, which was almost the one that we had, but it wasn't quite.
Okay.
This is like, okay. But the first three iterations of the game is Dobutsu no Mori, Dobutsu no Mori Plus, Dobutsu no Mori E Plus. And all three of those are considered the first Animal Crossing game. Because
did these never come out outside of Japan?
No, these are all, the third one gets made into the one that we know. So okay. It's basically like adding DLC.
When you say made into, was it released as Dobutsu no Mori E Plus in Japan and then released as Animal Crossing in North America? Or is there now like a fourth iteration where they release it a fourth time and add more DLC to create Animal Crossing for the GameCube in North America?
My understanding is it went Dobutsu no Mori, Dobutsu no Mori Plus, Animal Crossing NA, and then slightly after Dobutsu no Mori Plus whatever. Yeah, E Plus, exactly.
E-girl.
Oh, yeah. So E Plus came after Animal Crossing NA.
I don't know. I don't want to put too much emphasis on that. I just know that they came around the same time. The third one is like Japan and us. But
right now we're
still at Dobutsu no Mori Plus. So this is still in Japan, and it's the second iteration of the game when the GameCube just came out.
Okay.
It had a true game clock. It had animals that can move in. A museum to store collections, which is a new objective in the game. It's like you're trying to fill up your museum. That's kind of like the... What is it in Stardew? The townhouse or whatever.
The museum.
The community center?
Yeah, community center. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Except I'm not sure if there's a celebration once you fill the museum or not.
Because there's a museum in Stardew Valley as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
Gunther's Museum, which you just put collectibles in.
That's right.
Okay.
And you do get some rewards for that, too.
Yeah.
So
community center if you want specific things. And sometimes you need, like, one of them is, like, 25,000 gold, and another one is, like, 100 wood.
Yeah. Or the three blobs of slime you killed off of a blob of slime.
Exactly. 10.
I would love to go to a museum and 100. See 100 pieces of wood, and just someone just like, yes, this was added to the collection recently.
It's not the museum. That's the community center.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm trying to differentiate them, Peter. You're confusing the audience.
So another feature, you could connect your Game Boy Advance to Animal Crossing or Dobutsu no Mori Plus, which was kind of cool. And so you could, in-game, whenever it was connected in, you could go to a new island on your GameCube that had, like, specific species of animals and fruits and stuff like that you wouldn't normally get.
Did you need a specific game cartridge on the Game Boy?
So the way that it works is I think you could, like, plug your Game Boy into the GameCube in some way. It didn't mention any technology of, like, something going in the slot itself.
No. Oh, so it's just any Game Boy with no cartridge in, you plug into the GameCube.
I think so. I wasn't ready for that question, but I think so.
Okay. It's not like Monster Rancher where you can put in a Shania Twain CD and get a different monster downloaded onto your PlayStation.
No. They're
Oh my gosh.
Monster Rancher, you put CDs into your PS1 and it would read the music and it would generate different monsters for you based on what you put in.
Man. Yeah. I feel like a woman is the final boss of this game.
I had that game too, man. That was a lot of fun, putting in the CDs. And then there's the GameCube Monster Rancher, the Game Boy Monster Rancher, where you just put in a random word, and whatever word you put in would generate a monster that you could raise on your ranch. So, like, there's all these websites of people just trying, like, every word in the dictionary, and, like, I got this monster from this one. So, once you figured out what word got you the best monsters, you could do it. It was a cool
kind of like Scribble Knots, I guess.
I love Scribble Knots.
Yeah.
It was a good game. I like the idea. Nintendo's really good at this whole, like, cross promotion of their own shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you convince your parents to buy you a Game Boy, we'll give you something extra in the game, which is actually like valueless.
Yeah.
Get a passport to fucking Tarantula Island. Thank God.
Yeah.
Great.
It'd be pretty cool if you could go to like the Johto region in Animal Crossing or something if you had Pokemon plugged in, right?
It's kind of a Tom Nook move that they created value where there wasn't any value, right? Just to get people working towards something. Yeah. But
Tom Nook is just Miyazaki. Right?
Yeah. So there actually might have been a cartridge now that you've got me thinking about it, because you could also take Animal Crossing on the go with your Game Boy Advance, but it was not really like a version of the game. It was a top-down 8-bit version of the game that really was more like a Tamagotchi game than a Animal Crossing game.
That's funny. That was going to be my question. If it was like a if it was just like a really basic maintenance thing, like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
This is like the earliest like Clash of the Clans, like Farmville shit, right? Like the whole you got to be maintaining it all the time. You better like get a GameCube and bring it on the bus to just tap buttons so you can.
Oh yeah.
So you can bring it back home and you get your power ups so you could keep going. Like, it's not as bad. They didn't introduce microtransactions yet, but I really feel like this was, like, one of the first building blocks towards Clash of Clans.
Oh, we'll get there, yeah. We'll get
Raid
there.
Shadow Legends.
Yeah. Throughout this, the kind of Animal Crossing from time to time, like, they're, from game to game, they are trying to get people into spending more. There's not quite microtransactions, but there's a lot of similarities there. But for now, we're still at Dubitsu Nomori Plus. It was a great port of the game. It added more shops, museum, animals that can move in. There was so many animals in the game that it was like a 1% chance that you get the same 6 starter animals. So every time you started the game, it would be a new experience, sort of.
Did they have all the animals on Earth?
They just have...
There'd be way less than a 1% chance.
oops, all tarantulas again. You're just like, ah!
I feel like to shuffle to get the same 6, like, you don't need that many different animals to end up with a 1% chance. Like, I feel like because you're looking at the same 6, that percentage chance drops really fast.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's math that I'm too dumb to do to figure that out.
The characters are usually an animal, and then they have some sort of gimmick to them. Like... For example, on my island, I have a mouse who calls me Shorty all the time.
Okay.
Shorty
because he wants to fuck you? Cause...
Maybe.
Or Shorty because you're not tall?
Well, I'm double his height, but he always calls me Shorty, so I don't know. He was really impressed that I caught a fish in front of him the other day, so we'll see how that goes.
I gotta say...
Been on that island too long.
Chet the chinchilla, my pet chinchilla, which just died... would have been a great addition to this episode.
I thought that that's what you were going with because he sounded just like a villager, but yeah.
It's too bad you had all that out of season tinsel sitting around.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've been telling Greg to clean it up for weeks, but just, you know, he cleans how he cleans. You can't tell him to clean something. He'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah.
a free spirit, that one.
Fastidious, but chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dubitsu Nomori Plus, great port of the game, and it led to a full-fledged GameCube version that was released in North America called Animal Crossing, and this was in 2002. So the one that we knew as the first game had 2 iterations in Japan on the N64 and GameCube before we got our GameCube version.
I love that you were at the beginning, were like, it's called Dubitsu Nomori. I'm sorry if I butchered that, and proceeded to include Dubitsu Nomori about 100 times in your script.
Yeah.
So you had to say it over and over again.
It actually only is there 3 times, but I just had to keep saying it to get back to my point. But
Yeah, you do keep getting sidetracked there, James.
Yeah, it's I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about my dead chinchilla some more?
No, I'm
talking about
fun.
Dubitsu Nomori, please.
Yeah. So it had proper translations to the English language, new characters, Western holidays and celebrations to make us over here feel like we're being special.
Honestly, I wonder what the sales would do in North America if you had just like Japanese holidays. Like, I wonder if it would like really change like reviewers' opinions and stuff. Like, we as Westerners
on Christmas, it's weird.
We're Canadian, but we are, you know, Westerners. And, like, we are, like, really uptight about a lot of that stuff, you know? Like,
Our culture is our culture. Don't come here with your weirdness or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is this, New Year's? But yeah. A week later, I don't fucking think so.
That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I think that especially with a game that has an in-time clock and calendar that matches your own, it's cool when the holidays match your own too.
Yeah. You're playing on Christmas Day. You get Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although I think do they celebrate? I think they might celebrate Christmas in Japan. I know KFC is a big thing on Christmas in Japan.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many people actually celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. You
know? So anyway. Remember how we talked about those microtransaction things? Here's one of the first ways they tried to do it before it was popularized. It was one of the first games, Animal Crossing was one of the first games to use the e-reader. Do you guys remember the e-reader?
It's like a thing that you like slide cards through it, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a cartridge. It's
like a Magstripe reader that connects to your GameCube or whatever.
Yeah, it connects to your Game Boy, which you can connect to your GameCube through connecting your Game Boy to your GameCube. So there's three levels deep. So you have to have the GameCube, you have to have the Game Boy, then you put the e-reader in, and then you buy card packs, and you slide the card packs through like what looks like a debit slider. To add items into the game.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that straight up is microtransactions, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's straight up. Those are loot boxes. We didn't even start with microtransactions. They jumped right to loot boxes.
Yep.
That is fucking wild.
I had them, and I had bought packs when I was a youngster.
So you've always been a whale, Jamie.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have. So I convinced my mom. I already had the Game Boy. I got the GameCube second, and then I convinced her to get an e-reader because I probably saw it on YTV after Dragon Ball Z and got really excited about it or something. But
yeah,
that'd be the weirdest peripheral for a parent to have to go out and buy. It's like, yeah, I got him the console and the handheld, but now he wants this like debit reader.
Yeah, he wants like an Interact machine
anymore. Exactly.
I could be wrong, but I think there was ways to also introduce cheats to some games. Like you could buy like the cheat pack, and then. Oh, if you swipe this card, there's moon gravity in this game or something.
They all wanted to sue Game Shark and like the Game Genie companies, but they were like, "Oh, but you could buy it from us."
Like, fuck you. I like the idea of black market Animal Crossing cards.
I could be wrong on that, but that's just something I remember.
It sounds totally plausible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm being honest. If we're looking at the state of the world today and what corporate greed can do to things and people, it sounds very plausible.
Yeah. So actually, I do have an answer for you. It did go Jimitsu no Mori plus Animal Crossing, and then Japan liked Animal Crossing so much that they ported the game back to Japanese, and they called it Jimitsu no Mori E+.
E+.
Oh, okay.
Which is for the e-reader.
So that's funny. Oh. They copied... the North American version to release in Japan, which is not normally how it goes.
No. And I love that they ported it to, like, they did all the translations to English to translate it back to Japanese. Yeah.
It's like when you put something in, like Google Translate, like, too many times and it just comes out, like, completely broken. Like,
yeah.
You put in, like, how are you doing today? And it just comes out ice cream sandwich after, like, four
permutations. So I got, every time you catch a sea bass or a sea bass, rather.
Sea bass.
Yeah. I had to say it both ways just so the pun becomes even more clear. This is not a good pun, but every time you catch a sea bass, it goes, wow, you caught a sea bass. Almost as good as a C+ or something like that. That's not a joke, right?
That's not a good one, yeah.
And
so I know the string fish is you caught a string fish, five more and you'll have a guitar fish.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
You caught a loach. It's looking at you with a little reproach.
Okay, that rhymes.
Yeah. You caught a horse mackerel. Of course, mackerel. That's a real one.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So everything you catch kind of has a little pun or rhyme or something to it.
A complimentary dad joke.
Yeah. But I really felt that sea bass or sea bass C+ thing was really bad, and there's actually a specific fish that people are trying to catch before the end of March, and its shadow looks like that one, so everybody's getting this awful pun that they don't want from a common fish while they're trying to catch a rare fish. So it's all over the subreddit right now. It's pretty good.
That's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, the Japanese took it back, Jimitsu no Mori E+, and the e-reader they went to go release it again in Japan, but the e-reader had been discontinued due to low popularity. So the
the debit machine peripheral wasn't popular
with kids. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, man, exactly.
I wish I held on to mine though. This would be a fun relic of the past. But so the E Plus part of the game did not even exist in the game. So it was basically just Animal Crossing Japan.
Okay. So the E Plus subtitle meant nothing by the time they discontinued the peripheral. So it was just like, ah, whatever. It's too late to change the paper on the box.
Yeah, pretty much. So the last of the beginning versions, like we're still in the first iteration, just all the releases of it. The last one was in China, and it was the Dubitsu Nomori IQ. Do you guys know what the IQ is?
Internal calendar.
No.
Qualender.
I thought Pete would know this one for sure. This is, IQ was a console in China, and it was like basically the Nintendo counterpart. But there was a lot of laws in China that meant you couldn't just release a normal console.
Yeah.
So this looked like a plug and play, and the entire N64 console was in the controller. I can send a picture to the group.
It's like
actually
Stadia before Stadia.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it looks like this.
You can't just release. You can't just release a console in China. You need to
steal it from another country and then release it.
Well, you need to install the cameras so the government can watch people playing, and you need to install the microphones.
It looks like it has a full-ass fan right on the middle, probably because that thing got so hot.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And it looks sort of like an N64 controller, but
the buttons, the A, B, and C buttons are directly N64, right?
Yeah.
It looks like somebody Frankenstein together an N64 controller and the Duke controller from the original Xbox.
Yeah.
Like they got them both warm and just mashed them together. Because this thing's a nightmare, actually. Yeah. It's awful looking. And yeah, there's a radio in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's probably for the heat. But it was all, the whole N64 hardware was within the controller, so it's not technically a console, so you could buy it in China. It was more of a plug and play. And this release of Animal Crossing was released in 2006. So this is like 5 years after the first one. And it's still sort of the same game. For games like up until this point, to release the same game so many times was pretty big. Like nowadays they do it like Skyrim's released on everything from your smart fridge to your PlayStation.
To your IQ,
yeah. But Animal Crossing, it's been the base game that was released in 2001 all the way to 2006 across a bunch of countries.
Okay, cool.
So that's the end of the first Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any questions so far?
That's quite the twisty tale. That's pretty crazy.
The fact that they could release the same game five times is pretty incredible.
Yeah, they would give it to you first, and then you had the option to pay it back over time.
Oh,
good.
They give you a free sample to get you hooked, and then
there's an ARG component.
Yeah. Nintendo around this time was releasing. This is around 2005 now, so Nintendo was releasing the Nintendo DS, and this is where Animal Crossing really started to branch out, with Animal Crossing Gone Wild in 2005.
Okay, titties.
Yeah. I'm just picturing those little cat thingies, these little frogs.
This is the one where Tom Nook gives you like a beachfront bungalow bar in Miami, and you need to get ready for spring break, right?
Yeah. It's where he's wearing a
Hawaiian shirt, and he's balding. He wears those like amber tinted glasses, has a big chain, still has his testicles on his head.
You catch tarantulas for him, and he just gives you like bags of coke to supply the women with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've got to fish out smugglers who drowned and get the condoms full of drugs out of their stomachs. That's the currency.
So
the condoms full of bells that they're trying to smuggle.
I could just picture him. You can hear him walking up with his bag full of bells or his pockets full of bells jingling. Yeah. Got a cigar hanging out of his mouth. Yeah.
Just like standing in the line at the airport, like every time you walk, like ching 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 ching.
Yeah, so Nintendo's releasing a Nintendo DS. They said with the new handheld system, what would be better but Animal Crossing? It's like such a relaxed game, and to bring it mobile would be a huge thing. So it was an entirely new game with a new engine that utilized the second touchscreen on the DS.
Yes. Okay.
Bugs and fish are introduced in the game, so now, yeah, that's two new types of collectibles, and you can
Nintendo,
get.
You've gotten mad with power.
Villagers became more interactive. They would invite you to their homes. They would actually help with your chores. They would water things that were nearby them, and they had even more voice lines.
That's pretty nice of them.
Yeah, so it's becoming more of a living world, I guess.
You say voice lines, but you mean like text lines, right?
Yeah,
it's not voice acted. They just make like sim. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it was really weird. So I smoked a little bit of marijuana when I first played the new one, and okay.
You're going to hell, but go on.
Yeah, and I was playing like, and I was reading all the words, and they throw in some of the real syllables along with the nonsense ones. So I was trying to pick up like, because like that was definitely a U sound, and that ended with a U. Like, and I was trying to figure out how they were doing it, because it feels like they have an algorithm where they're using almost what the syllables are, but not quite.
It's like they have someone actually read the lines, and then they just scramble it in a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah, look, or they have a way to interpret it, like, that they can hit some of the syllables, but not all of them. Like, they throw it through an algorithm or something. I don't know. It was weird.
That is one of the most I got stoned and played Animal Crossing stories I've ever heard in my life. Just like, man, I just try to figure out how all these like island animals are talking, because sometimes it sounds sort of real.
I could swear they were talking to me, man. I couldn't figure out what they were saying.
Oh, and then when you
forget to read the text boxes because it sounds so much like real speech. Like, what did he say? You like click him again? Like, I still can't understand him, man.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I'm so stoned.
You come into my apartment and I'm doing all the speech parts just with my eyes closed, not reading it. Like, fucking.
What, dude?
Yeah. No, and then when you plugged in my name too, right? When you type J, you'd hear like J, and like A would be ah, M would be like mm. So it's like not quite the words, but it. Anyways, it's trippy.
Okay, that's strange, yeah.
Where was I? So.
You're getting high.
Yeah.
You're getting freaked out by Animal Crossing.
Yep. Villagers had more voice lines, which were probably not voice lines, but I hear them as voice lines.
Snatch.
Wi-Fi was available on the DS, too, so you could actually visit your friends' towns and help them out, / bring over your own fish and like show them off and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You can dump your dead leaves in their yard.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is actually a really big deal for Animal Crossing, because you could build a community now. Like, people could visit each other. You could post on forums being like, hey, look, this is my code. Come check out my island. I'll trade you this, whatever. Yeah. Animal Crossing.
Basically World of Warcraft, like, at that point.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Sort massively of. Multiplayer online. Farm
Animal
simulator.
Crossing.
Yeah. Yeah, Animal Crossing Gone Wild in 2005 was a huge success. It was... They do this thing where they kind of went console, mobile. So this was, console was the first four games, which is really one game. And now we're on to mobile. And then now we're back to console. So 2008 was the next worldwide release, Animal Crossing City Life for the Nintendo Wii.
Okay.
One of the new features was the Wii Speak. So you get a USB microphone that I've never heard of on a Wii, but you can plug it in and chat with people over Wi-Fi when visiting their towns.
Okay, well, that's fine.
That makes
sense. That's just like a basic online VoIP thing.
Yeah.
The Wii was the 360 and PS3 generation, right?
So
yeah.
Like, it should have had those things by then, but Nintendo has never done it. Like, for somebody who excelled at making peripherals, they really missed the boat on, like, the headset and microphone.
Yeah.
For online gaming.
I would imagine the Wii microphone setup, like the native one, would probably like be a game show host wand mic that like clips into the bottom of the nunchuck that you'd have to speak into, like, exactly. While moving it, because people at Nintendo don't understand that human beings have two hands that they can use.
And like a head that you can just clip like headphones and a microphone onto.
See, you're wearing headphones with a microphone right now, and I can see it on webcam, and I barely understand the technology behind it. Frankly, it terrifies me. So I can see how the execs at Nintendo could also not be understood by you, who may just be a god traveling backwards through time.
Well, they don't want to risk making the tension too strong and just crushing people's heads.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So Animal Crossing City Life, you could speak to people now. Cool. To voice chat in 2008, nifty. But what was really the big change was you could go to a city now. So like a central place that you could get new items, a new social dynamic, just buy things. Yeah, I guess there's probably mechanics like, oh, you have to go to the store on a Wednesday to get this kind of thing or something like that. It sounds very like Animal Crossing slash Harvest Moony slash things like that.
Yeah, like, well, the thing about Harvest Moon and all that is like, okay, I'm just going to like do my days and go to sleep until Wednesday and then go get the thing. But in Animal Crossing, it's like, oh, I got like, the kids have soccer practice on Wednesday. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I just don't have time to go do your fucking thing on Wednesday. So I guess I'm never doing that thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's it. So that one didn't have the craziest changes, but it was a welcome addition to the series, and it was on the Wii rather than the GameCube, so a little bit better graphics. Cool.
Yeah. They added the hustle and bustle of urban life, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the powerhouse graphics that the Wii could provide.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. As many blurry textures as you can get onto a single-layer DVD.
So far the games have gone console, mobile, console. So what's next?
Mobile.
Yep.
Is it the 3DS?
It is a 3DS.
Ah.
Animal Crossing Turning Over a New Leaf in 2012.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Oh, I have heard about this one. Yeah, this is where they had the graphics. It's like a little rotating sphere as you walk, right?
Yep. The new one's the same way as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
This one was probably the most well-received out of all of them. It didn't sell the most, but in terms of like the diehard fans, this was the game. Like, they had all of the features up until this point. They also added new holidays, tools, collectibles, and items. You're the mayor of the town in this village, so you have...
Democratically elected or appointed by Tom Nook?
Probably appointed
by Tom Nook. You're a fall guy. You're a fall guy. I got you.
Yeah, so I was going to say, as my first act as mayor of this town that you have also graciously elected in a 100% landslide vote, doing away with the currency you've been using up until this point and moving over to Nook Bucks.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated to my election.
Yeah. I'd like to thank local businessman Tom Nook for all his hard work during my campaign.
So in this version, you're in charge of anything from... like planning in the city, setting up like this is where the fences are gonna go, this is where the houses are gonna go, to any festivals that are going on, making sure the logistics are okay for that, settling any public grievances between the villagers. Yeah,
you're pretty hands-on mayor for one. You don't have a police force, which is odd, but do these people not get to choose where they put their own fences, or has
It's city ordinance, though.
Yeah, zoning laws.
Just become like, okay, yeah.
I don't know. Like,
Tom Nook seems to have decided that this much of your lawn actually is just public property now, so we're just going to put a fence around it.
Yeah. I've gone ahead and taken the pond out of your front lawn and filled that with lava, and I've set up a slide for your kids right out in front of it. So I hope you enjoy that. Yeah.
Honestly, this sounds like my kind of mayor, honestly. Like, hands on. Like, it's a small town, right? Like, you have, like, whatever, up to 20 people in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not have a hands on? Like, if you're mayor, why would you get a police force to settle petty disputes when you
could
just.
It is like the Old West.
Yeah. I would think, like, small towns in the past probably operated, like, mayors operated similarly.
Yeah. Yeah. Peppa Pig's so upset that Froggy Frog is eating all of the flies out of her manure pit. Yeah. How do you handle it?
Like, Froggy Frog will be put to death.
It will be displayed at the town square at the gallows as a warning to other frogs.
Yeah. Yeah, so this game, honestly, super well loved. If you want to play an Animal Crossing game and don't have a Switch, this is probably a really good way for you to get into the series because it did a lot of things right.
Don't buy a 3DS, just buy a Switch. If you don't have a 3DS, either.
Yeah. Yeah. That is also true. But if you have a 3DS, honestly,
it's probably just as expensive to buy a 3DS, or almost as expensive to buy a 3DS, right?
Yeah.
Nintendo products don't go down in price ever, so.
No. Yeah, so this version still has tons of content, very immersive. It put the game above the rest, like in terms of how much control you had over and different things to do. Because if you wanted to just be a designer, you could be a designer. If you wanted to just like, focus on your own thing. You could probably ignore a lot of the town's things, and there's just a lot of different ways to play the game. Also,
how far do your powers extend as mayor? Can you do you get the first night alone with a newly married wife?
Prima nocta.
Yeah, exactly. Can you invoke the right of prima nocta during all the weddings?
Peppa Pig, wash yourself off. Come with me.
Yeah.
Also, in this version, amiibos were added to the game. So another way to buy things outside of the game to make virtual things in the game.
It's the same thing as the e-reader.
Tap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's also a few spin-offs after this, because after after A New Leaf, there was, this is in 2012, there wasn't a real Animal Crossing game until now in 2020, which is part of the reason why there's so much hype around this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were some Animal Crossing games with the name Animal Crossing on it, and I'll go over a few of them. There's Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. You play as an interior-exterior designer. So you basically, the villagers just say, this is my house. I'm kind of interested in this. Can you fix it up for me? And you just place all their furniture and front, you know, lawn and whatever you want to do.
They took a small portion of the of the whole game and made it an entire game on its own.
Yeah,
but they did it very well as well. So, like, they made the design better than in the actual games and made it the prime focus. So, if for some people, they're really into that. It's not my thing, but good for them. Oh, my God. One of the worst ones was Animal Crossing Wii U. I don't know if you've seen this one.
The Wii U doesn't need another L, okay?
Yeah.
Can we leave the Wii U alone, please?
The Wii U subtitle does not instill me with confidence.
Yeah. So it was never actually an Animal Crossing game, to the disappointment of other fans, even though it was called Animal Crossing Wii U.
What the fuck?
It was an Animal Crossing Plaza. So it was a free digital eShop title that was not that was focused on communication and none of the aspects of the gameplay that was there before. So it was basically a reskin of the Miiverse with Animal Crossing characters.
The Animal Crossing characters.
So it's like there's a tree in the middle and a bunch of Animal Crossing characters just milling about, and you could press a bunch of different voice lines that you have pre-baked into your character.
Okay.
So that sounds good. Horrible.
You'd be like,
as free software on the Wii U goes.
Yeah. I like apples. Animal Crossing. this was also removed from the store not long afterwards because of the outrage.
I mean, the Miiverse was removed from the store, right? So
yeah,
rip Miiverse.
Another great game is Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, and it's not a life simulator or design game, but instead a digital board game similar to Mario Party, but way less fun.
Is this where you can send all of your very expensive toys with chips in them to go do things together?
Yes, they were trying to capitalize on the Amiibo trend and drive sales, but it sucked.
Oh, okay.
It looked really good on the Wii U, and the characters that the community loved were in the game, so it looked like an Animal Crossing game, but just you could do none of the things that you wanted to do in an Animal Crossing game. So it was a huge tease for everyone who just wanted a new game.
Nintendo just put Animal Crossing skin on something. It was just like, look at me, it's your favorite friend Animal Crossing. Just shambling around. Loose fitting skin like the cockroach monster in Men in Black.
Animal Crossing, what happened to you?
My sugar. It's water. It's like for Isabella.
My Animal Crossing.
Your skin's hanging off your bones.
My Animal Crossing, your teeth are so large.
In 2017, they released a mobile game called Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. And as much as we're taught to be like, hey, mobile games usually bad, this one was pretty good. Brought a lot of new games into the series, and it wasn't a perfect Animal Crossing game, but it was really true to the spirit of the game. There was a lot of small tasks for soon rewards with larger scale goals for longer on. You could design your camp and interact with a few villagers, not as many as a normal game. But it grossed $50 million, so it was a success.
Yeah. I was gonna ask what the economy was like, because I know Nintendo is notoriously scummy on their mobile platform. Like, their phone games are some of the worst examples of, like, blood-drinking microtransactions.
So many phone games, man. But I was going to say, we already established, like, it's perfect for that environment, right? Like, it's perfect for those little microtransactions, the little speed up boosts or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like you say, like, the Super Mario one, which is, like, Super Mario Run, which is, like, a super basic port of a stripped-down version of Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
Yeah.
Or maybe the DS one. But just, like, so many microtransactions. If you want to play more than, like, 20 minutes at a time, you got to buy, like, power-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so this one, I've never actually played it myself, but I've watched it on other people's phones. And since it's 2017 and we haven't had a game since 2012, even though it was 5 years later and a little scummy, this scratched the itch for some people because you didn't have to pay necessarily. You could play.
Honestly, not hating on people who are willing to do it. Mobile gaming is typically not for me. I play, you know, Hearthstone, which is ostensibly a PC game that's available on the phone, and they didn't change anything about it.
Okay.
And I will play my Game Boy Advance emulator.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like.
So a cool note too, there was not an Animal Crossing game, but there was actually Animal Crossing the movie in 2006.
What?
Yes.
Okay. And 2006.
Nintendo partnered with OLM Incorporated to create a feature-length animated film. It actually looks kind of cool. I watched a clip. It looks really cozy. Like, it seems like on a rainy day to watch it, it would make you feel really good. It follows the life.
It's a rainy day today.
I know it is. Yep. It follows the life of an 11-year-old Aya who moves in to an animal village and works for Tom Nook to pay off her debts. She's 11. She gets debts from him.
That guy is fucking ruthless.
Yeah, he's predatory, honestly.
Yeah.
So some little notes. She has to help a UFO return to the sky and win the Winter Festival. These are two of the objectives of her.
Okay.
I don't know if you should watch it, but it looks cool.
if you're a diehard Animal Crossing fan, you haven't watched it yet.
Honestly, if you're at home like I am and playing Animal Crossing, it would probably be pretty good background noise just to throw on. So
throw it on the TV.
I don't know if it was released in English. I checked it up on Wikipedia, and all of the actors are all Japanese. I don't think it ever got translated. There was no English cover either.
Oh, dang. Oh, well, maybe
it might be subtitled though. Like.
Yeah, subs for the true Animal Crossing fan.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we have Animal Crossing New Horizons in 2020. It was supposed to come out in 2019, but they delayed it. It's out now. I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's really a very zen game, like, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now. It's easy to get worried and caught up in your own head, and I found that this game is really easy just to get lost in and play.
I think anything these days where it's like quick little relaxing tasks, like checklists right now, make people very comfortable. Like, I printed out calendars just so I could check off certain things on my day to day right now, because I can't leave my fucking house. So I printed out March and April calendars, and I'm going to keep doing it until I'm allowed to leave, basically. Just like when to feed my salamanders, when I've worked out, when I've, you know, whenever I've had some drinks with friends via webcam. Like, I track all of that just because it's like, okay, cool, yeah, I can just live in a spreadsheet for the next month and a half if I have to. That's all good.
Yeah. Right? So before we finish, I wanted to go over a couple of the fan theories for Animal Crossing that were on their own fandom website. So fantheories.fandom for Animal Crossing. This is...
Okay.
So one of the first ones is that the game are set in Purgatory. So whenever,
oh my god,
when you started talking, I was like, Purgatory.
Yeah, you are a child who ended up on an island and are consistently given things to keep busy and basically forget that you're dead.
Okay.
So
canonically, in this theory, every character in Animal Crossing is unbaptized.
So, like, when your character will be able to enter heaven is unknown, but in Animal Crossing.
Tom Nook is like your Virgil. Like...
I mean, okay, there's one thing we know, and this life, if you're in debt, there's no way you're getting into heaven, okay? You gotta be debt free. That's the number one rule to get into heaven. Just ask the church circa pre-Martin Luther, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing A New Leaf, it seems that it'd be possible to ascend into paradise once the town tree reaches its full growth stage.
Okay. Fair.
So this is like a... That's like kind of like a Viking purgatory thing. That's the world tree where you can finally ascend up to Asgard.
Yggdrasil.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Once you've made all your neighbors happy and paid off all of your debts to the tyrant Tom Nook, then you can go to heaven.
Is Tom Nook Satan, and then all the other characters are like angels there to guide you along?
Maybe. You could be. I'm not going to say one way or the other.
Or is he just like the boatman at the River Styx, but whatever that is for heaven, right?
Oh, Sharon.
Yeah. The way that this theory goes on, it seems like his job is just to keep you occupied while you're in purgatory and not to realize that you're in purgatory until whatever administration needs to go through before you can go to heaven or hell. Yeah,
you just got to push this rock up a hill, and then once you get it up to the top, man, you're debt free. You're like, I'll give you
20 bells. Careful, it doesn't roll back down that hill, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this next one. So before,
so many weird fucking ideas for the title card for this episode. Like, I don't know if I want to do the cocaine smuggling or the Sisyphus thing now. I'll figure it out.
For Animal Crossing, the first thing I looked up was the fan theories before I looked up the lore and like the history, and this is the first thing that I read: child kidnapping and slave labor cult theory. So, that's when I decided, yes, I'm going through with this. But so the gist of it is, the game represents a human trafficking operation where children were lured by friendly characters and then kidnapped and brought to this island. So some evidence for this is
the outgoing shipments of Nikes really should have tipped us off.
Yeah. Okay, to get your next 15 bells, I'm gonna need you to sew together 1,000 handbags for me.
Don't fuck up the stitching on Gucci.
Yeah, but Tom Nook, my fingers hurt. I don't care.
I have some evidence, and this also gave me a little bit of context to Twitch culture as well. I'm not sure if they're connected at all, but it starts with a character called Kappen, KAPPN. And at the start of one of the games, the player is introduced to a character named Kappen, who takes them to Animal Crossing Community. However, Kappen is actually based on the Japanese mythological river demon called Kappa.
Oh, the duck thing.
Yeah, which is infamously known for luring and then kidnapping children. And it's worth mentioning one of his creepy speeches in Tone, where he considers children to be so ellipses gullible. So,
oh, Jesus.
Creepy.
Sinister.
Yep. So he might be part of this ring. We also have Tom Nook in the Neverending Debt, which is
He's the one who gaslights the prisoners, right?
Yeah. He was. They introduced a raccoon character named Tom Nook, or not a raccoon, that raccoon dog. Yeah, Tanuki.
He's a Tanuki.
Which leads you with work to pay him off, a debt that never ends, so it was increased, which may be reference to child slave labor. And to make matters worse, other animal residents never let the player leave their community. In fact, they are considered to be temptations, luring children and tricking them to think they're a normal, peace-loving community. So those are some fun, really scary things to put over top of your lovely game about catching bugs and fish.
Yeah.
Once you're out of debt, we can all get on that spaceship behind a comet together. Don't you worry about it.
Cool.
Child slavery simulator 2020, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't work well on the GameCube, so they just changed it to Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Child labor.
Dobitsu no Mori. That's actually the direct translation to Japanese.
Yeah.
Child labor E+ with new e-reader.
Yeah.
Then you actually have kids in real life spending time in a game to convince their parents to spend more money so they can spend more time in the game.
Oh my god.
There's layers, yeah. All right, well, that was Animal Crossing, guys. This is a really fun game. If you join the Discord, which is in our about information on the website, loreboys.com, if you join that, I'll give you my friend code and we could go visit each other's island. I'll let you look at my ore fish.
Yeah, we could all live in purgatory together.
Yep. And that's where you can find me on the internet, is at the Discord. I want to see more faces in there because that's where I hang out the most. So
cool.
Fun fact about Tanukis. Eric Skiff, who wrote our theme song, A Night of Dizzy Spells, is the co-founder of something called Tanuki Labs, which is like, I think, a nonprofit coding platform.
Cool. Oh, cool.
Fun fact about Eric Skiff.
I was thinking about him. We haven't mentioned him in a while. Eric Skiff, man. Good dude. Good dude.
That's the Lore Boys theme song.
Yep.
Yeah, he's given us. He gave us free music 3 years ago, and we never stopped using it. It's actually fantastic. Yeah.
I'm Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter or on the Discord, like James said. If you like the show, visit our webpage, loreboys.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. Tell your friends. Share us on Instagram. Do whatever it is that you feel comfortable doing to help us out. We'd appreciate it.
And especially in regards to Instagram, I'm Peter O'Donohue, at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. I am Pete Fix there. And
that's your display name, though. Nobody will find you.
Oh, can you not search with that?
Oh, maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? And then, of course, theloreboys.com. Check us out. We have a Patreon. Thank you to Darnell, a longtime fan, new time benefactor.
Yeah.
So thank you to him. Thank you to everybody else who's ever donated or continues to donate. You're all wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Darnell's going to tie us up and make us listen to like hours and hours and hours of Green Lantern lore.
Yeah,
it's coming.
I already promised to do Doom Patrol, so that's probably going to be my next episode. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. We have some.
If you don't trust Patreon, Ethan, Lore Boys Prime. All right.
yeah, as you guys know, we've had some little helping hands at the Lore Boys Studios recently. We've had some very generous people who just like want to help us out, you know, get us coffees, sew our handbags together. And we want to offer the listeners a chance to be part of the Lore Boys love circle that we like to call it. And we just want to give you guys a one-way ticket. You know, you don't need your passport. You don't need anything.
Cell phone, is particularly.
You're going to be transported in a shipping container, so it's not like you're going to go through security or anything like that.
You can work for your Lore Boys miles once you get here.
Yeah, we have our own currency, so you don't need to bring any money or anything. You know, we will confiscate your cell phone. But anybody who sends us 3222 in the next couple months, we'll be welcome to come join the Lore Boys Love Circle. Yeah,
it's gonna be great. You can buy everything with your lore bucks.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Yep.
Get all the lore fixins.
I think that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.